You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
And how about Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys? They are a 7.5-point underdog tonight. Drew Brees and company are averaging over 37 points per game and have won 10 in a row. The Cowboys have looked pretty good lately. They've won three straight. Zeke has rushed for over 100 yards in each of those games. But the Saints have the number one rushing defense in the NFL. We're joined by FS1 NFL analyst James Harrison. And James, yesterday, if I remember this correctly, you picked the Saints. So how
I
much
like big.
Will they yeah. win yeah. by if it was that big? Yeah.
At least 14.
Oh, what? You got? 14.
Yeah,
I thought
least
you were
14.
At least going to go 21.
No, I'm not going to go 21. I'm not going to totally just Slept disrespect on, the yes. game, you know. Yeah. But at least 14. Between 14 and 17, you got to look at it with the Saints averaging about 38 a game. Yeah. The, 19, 20, maybe 21 tops.
Okay.
Saints also have a, like you said, a good rushing defense. Mm-hmm. So you're putting a really good rushing defense against a rushing offense. Mm-hmm. You got a quarterback that can't really throw the ball, get it to where it needs to go.
We just had another Dak shot. You know, it's possible Dak is watching because they might have time to watch this morning.
That's good. I ain't got to play against it. I can say whatever I want. And then when I say it, it's golden.
James Harrison just said Dak cannot throw.
You know?
Thank you.
Accuracy.
I appreciate
accuracy
that.
Accuracy is
no, he's
is
not accurate, says James Harrison.
Troy said that a couple of weeks ago. What are we talking about?
But James Harrison played against him, man. Right?
Did I play against him?
No, I thought you did, didn't you? That one year at Pittsburgh, weren't you in that game?
It's not a good sign if you don't remember.
I don't remember.
I think you played in that game.
Did they win?
Yeah.
They did?
Zeke hit his head on the goalpost at the end of the game.
On that 4th-and-1.
Yeah.
When James Jones didn't get his, linebacker from Georgia.
Yeah.
When he didn't get his face across Escobar,
yeah.
You had the pinch and you had the corner fire on.
I don't know if I was playing in that game. That might have been when they were sitting me on the sideline. They were sitting all this on the sideline. You know?
Yeah. Well, I know you would have got your head across when you
all the way.
By the way, that was the game after which Tony Romo in the locker room, the visitor's locker room, went up to Stephen Jones, who obviously helps run the Cowboys, and said, "Do you know how hard it is to do what Dak did in that game against that defense?" That's what he said. And that's when he conceded. Remember, he conceded the job to Dak Prescott that day. Tony Romo said that.
Go ahead. I know you got so much to talk about. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No,
I can't throw.
Listen,
no,
I'm done. I'm done. Really? I mean, it's easy. It's simple. You look at the numbers.
I'm
you look
surprised
at the players.
You
look
pick
at the plays.
Bigger spread. Like I.
You wanted me to go real big, like 21, and say bet it. Then I'll be like, no, I ain't betting that.
I wanted you to go 48-7 because that's what his Eagles lost to the Saints by.
But that was
48-7.
Do you understand that how big 14 points is to a home team?
Home
team. Now, if they're on the road, I'd have
with a quarterback who can't throw a lick.
No, he just look. He says he suffers from accuracy issues. Accuracy.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah.
I heard he can't throw.
I said he can't throw, and the reason I say he can't throw because he's not accurate.
Okay. Thank you.
Consistent.
All right. That
right.
That's laid
right.
on the table.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I like it.
You said last week that some the throws that he made to Amari Cooper made great catches on.
I did. I said okay. I didn't love the way my team played last Thursday on Thanksgiving. I wasn't that. Didn't I come in here and say, were you here? No, you weren't here.
No,
you were gone. I came right in the next day. I said, I was not that impressed. Did I not tell you that?
I
said, my team hasn't taken off yet. Yeah, it might.
That's high as it can go.
Yeah.
That's fast as it can go.
That's it?
Yep.
So what do you think? Are you going to go up on your score?
Nope.
You've had some time.
33-23.
That's all?
That's it.
Really?
Hold on, Skip.
That'd be like a moral victory for
my team. No, you don't get credit for those.
Right?
And
the W's and L's. That's it.
I'm thinking about reopening my restaurant. I closed it down for the last couple of weeks.
You did? Yep. I think the health department closed
it down. No, but they opened up. I'm opening it back up.
Wait, didn't you guys have beef yesterday in the hall?
Yes, we did. Somebody ran.
I don't know.
Somebody ran.
My shoulder.
Somebody owed me 15 more, but they ran.
My shoulder hurt.
Your shoulder hurt.
Yeah, I'm doing 80-pound snatches with the dumbbell.
Oh.
When?
We got excuses.
Tuesday.
Excuses.
Excuses.
Yeah,
you know what those
are. We got excuses. Go ahead. Go up on your score. Have the courage of your convictions. Have some guts.
I said 10.
I want to hear it.
14.
10.
Yeah, but 14. You tell me that the Cowboys are garbage, and then you say it's going to be a 10-point game.
17.
Do you understand? For a team as hot as you say the Cowboys are,
I don't think they're that hot
10 points at home? You just said it. Oh, Ezekiel Elliott run the ball 152.
I didn't say that. I said I wasn't that impressed by what happened on Thanksgiving.
But they've won three games. They won two games before Thanksgiving.
And they haven't turned the ball over one time.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I'm counting on them being able to. I'm counting on the Saints doing what they've done in this 10-game winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
Racing to a lead, taking the opposing team's run game out of the equation, forcing you to play point for point.
What's
with
the score
them.
After a quarter?
I'm going to say 10-3.
10-3? Is that racing to a lead?
Yeah.
I'll take 10-3 after a quarter.
Because here's the thing, though, Skip. You guys are going
to. Y'all going to have to start passing the ball eventually.
Because
you know you're not that good at
it.
Here's the thing. You guys are going to possess the ball for probably about 5 to 6 minutes in the first quarter. And guess what? You're only going to get a field goal.
Mm.
And Drew Brees going to get the ball. Touchdown. Y'all going to punt and then the field goal.
I'm here to say I am up against it because Jane Slater of NFL Network just tweeted that it does not look good for Tyron Smith to play left tackle tonight because he's got a stinger and an elbow, and he wasn't able to play on Thanksgiving against the Redskins. That's arguably the best left tackle in pro football, but they do have this guy named Cameron Fleming who used to protect Brady's eyesight at right tackle, and he played left tackle against the Redskins, and I didn't hear his name called one time, so I guess he was okay.
They ain't got no good left defensive end.
Yeah. Was that it?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going with Brady's guy, Cam Fleming, tonight, probably at left tackle.
He'll give up a sack and a half.
And I still got a good feeling about this.
He going to give up a sack and a half.
I still got a good feeling. I just had Rankins. A feeling all
Ooh,
week.
That DT Rankins. I love him, Skip. Cam Jordan.
Yeah.
I played, played against his
he
dad.
Comes
Steve.
Hard.
Yeah. Oof. I like this.
Fire.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fire.
Well, go ahead. 40-23.
23. 33 Saints. 23, your Cowboys.
All I know is I've got the best running back in pro football. Who
Todd Gurley says no.
Well, guess who's leading in the rushing totals right now? It's Zeke is leading the league in rushing. Thank you very
much. Todd Gurley got like 17 tubs, though.
Okay, well, I don't even care about tubs. That's the most overrated stat in pro football.
Oh, really?
So running back scoring from the 1 yard line, way to go.
Well, why?
Way to go. That's to win your games, though.
So
somebody got to score.
Fantasy game.
So why
don't play?
You'd rather the running back run it in than throw it like Seattle did and get a pick.
What I care about, what happens between the 20s because my guy can carry the mail.
But Todd Gurley can.
Well, I'm not saying he can. I just got the best one.
No, you don't.
I got the guy. I got a big game player. I got big game.
How you know what big games he's been in?
Well, I saw him against St. Nick's defense one night and Jerry.
I'm talking about NFL.
He went for 230 on St.
Nick's.
230
NFL
on the Alabama defense.
Yeah. And then I saw him
national
semifinal. And I saw him crying the next year when they lost to Michigan State. You remember that, Skip?
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember in that day when he was a rookie at Pittsburgh. God.
Didn't James say he was
wild?
I don't remember.
James has lost his memory on this.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
I get amnesia on things. I think
you got amnesia on that. So, I believe that Ezekiel, I'm being conservative. You said he has to go for 150.
He does.
Going 125 on 25 carries. That's my blueprint for tonight. because then my team could win the time of possession 35-25, and my quarterback will make plays with his legs as well as his inaccurate noodle arm, as you might say. I didn't say that.
I didn't say noodle.
Well, you basically said it could be a noodle arm because it's
no, I didn't. I've never said noodle.
All right. But he does have a receiver that he loves because his receiver is very happy and loves his new quarterback. Mm-hmm. And his name is Amari Cooper, and he runs precise routes. These are some of the best routes I've ever seen a wideout run. Are they not?
Yeah,
they are precision.
Crisp.
Stopping on dimes, cutting on nickels.
Woo. Oh, cutting on nickels. Yeah, cutting on you nickels. Feeling good, huh? Yeah. Okay. Ooh. Marcus Lattimore going to shut all that down.
Third and five.
Marcus Lattimore said, give me that.
Yeah.
Give me that.
All right. Bing, bing. Oh, yeah. He's open again. 19.
Pick six. Pick six tonight.
Yeah. Watch that, four throwing it to 19.
Four to 19. To
he's inaccurate, but he can throw it to 19 every time. You hit him right there in the hands.
No.
Has Amari dropped any balls in Dallas? Nope. He's happy. He's not playing for John Gruden anymore. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I got that. So I got time of possession, and then I look at what happened at Baltimore, and I know, again, the Ravens are really good on defense. My team's pretty good on defense.
They ain't gooder than the Ravens. They ain't better than the Ravens.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like I said, yeah,
you
we're talking
know.
About good.
Numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
Huh?
Numbers don't lie, right?
1-3. I'm third in points allowed.
You want to be third or you want to be first?
I think my defense will get after Drew Brees. I think he will be uncomfortable all night long, and it's got to start with DeMarcus Lawrence Taylor. He started with his mouth, and we talked about it yesterday, and I did not love it because he basically said, we're going to punch him in the mouth and we're going to choke him out.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Okay.
Okay, well, it's time to rise and shine and back those words up or eat those words, one way or the other.
Boy, you know Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Sean Payton going to be on the sideline gagging him
off. He will. He'll be giving the chokes on to him.
And Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
Deuces.
And this undrafted free agent and that undrafted free agent and this one and that one. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't even know their names.
Making plays.
Yeah,
making plays.
Yep, but he's not going to have the ball enough and he's not going to have enough time to make enough big plays.
Woozie got away with a hold and they ended up in a pick. So guess what's going to happen, Skip? They're going to be playing close attention to a Woozie. I got a feeling he gets two pass interference calls tonight.
A feeling he might have a pick tonight. Just got a feeling.
Drew Brees is throwing two picks.
I got a good feeling.
He's got a good feeling. Yeah. He said he's felt good all week about this one.
There's just something about this. Something my team is poised for takeoff.
Hey, take anybody off. Got in the Benadryl drill back there? Skip got a feeling.
No mercy.
So Tim Tebow has not thrown a football in a regular season NFL game since 2013, but football is still on his mind. He has switched sports from football to minor league baseball, but he reflected on the gridiron yesterday saying, quote, it's still hard sometimes when I watch games and I'm thinking I can totally do that or I can be doing this or playing here or crushing that. Joined once again by James Harrison, did play against Tebow, but Skip, it's only appropriate.
Do you have amnesia about that game?
No, I don't have amnesia. Okay. Listen, Skip, that game right there, that's just, you know, how they
say. Talking about the playoff game.
The sun shines on every dog's eyes.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Shined on him in overtime, didn't it?
Like I said.
Okay.
The sun was out.
Yeah, the sun was out.
It was out in Denver.
Skip, could you still be playing in the NFL?
I definitely believe Tim Tebow could do at age 31 what he did in 2011 at age 24. And I'm going to say this one more time. 20, 30 years from now, some new NFL fans are going to look at what Tim Tebow pulled off for the 2011 Denver Broncos and sit back and think, that guy did that year and never got another chance to start another football game in the NFL? How can that be?
Easy.
So I'm going to reiterate what I said before he got drafted. I would take Tim Tebow at the bottom of the first round, and if you let him run his college offense, his Florida offense, he will win lots of games in the NFL. You have to do it unconventionally the way he did it at Florida. No Pro Bowls. I never said he'd make a Pro Bowl because there's no way he's going to make a Pro Bowl. But you want to win games? Let him do it his way. He's going to win games. So what happened, Shannon Sharp? Josh McDaniels took aim with the 25th pick at the bottom of the first round, and then Josh got fired mid next year, right? Mm-hmm. Next season.
You did.
But at the end of that season, they gave Tim a chance. They threw him into the fire. Let's get this over with. And one game at Mile High, he threw for 308 yards and outgunned Matt Schaub and the Houston Texans with a last-ditch, last-second touchdown drive to win that game 24-23. That's a magic score today because that's the score I'm picking for tonight, right?
Is.
So then the next year, they start off 1-4, and they are dead in the water. What happened, Mr. Sharp? John Elway says, let's get this over with. Let's just get Tim Tebow out of our hair. Let's throw him into the fire at Miami. And what happened? They won in overtime thanks to Tim Tebow. And all of a sudden, he goes on a magical ride and run, and he takes the Denver Broncos to the division title and the Broncos to the number one rush attack in pro football. Because Tim, at, what, 225? He's pretty athletic. He can run it. We just saw a clip of what he did on that Thursday night with 58 seconds left. Can we see that one more time?
No, we don't need to see it.
Rex Ryan's Watch Jets? Look at this play. This is 58 seconds left from the 20. This is Tim Tebow for the win. And they pull it out again. It's magic. It's magic.
Yeah, Mark Sanchez throws a pick, so you don't want to talk about that.
Okay, but he did it again and again and again. He did it. And then he did it to the Pittsburgh Steelers in a home playoff game. It's Big Ben Roethlisberger. It's James Harrison, the baddest defensive end in pro football. And you played in that game. You had like three tackles. I don't think you had a sack in that. I don't remember. But
I throw the ball. You
know, can't throw the ball. But he threw it to Demarius. I'm sorry, to Demarius Thomas, right?
Yes.
He threw it to Demarius.
You could have completed this
pass.
Right.
I could have. You know what? That was a dart. Look at this. And he's going. That might have been the greatest moment of my sports watching life right there.
Really?
I couldn't even believe that happened.
The greatest moment?
Yeah.
Skip.
It was over. The game was over. He did it. Skip. And then he never got a chance. Rex Ryan called him and said, Tim, I know it because Tebow told me this. He said, Rex told him, I'm going to give you a chance to come here and compete for the job. And he never got a chance to compete. And he never started another game in the National Football League. That was just wrong.
Skip, at some point in time, you and Tebow got to give it up. He had his chance.
He got to ask a question. He answered it honestly.
My dream was to play in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Jenny, no one said my dream had to last 14 years. No one says the dream when you play a particular sport, if that's your dream, that you're going to play 10, 15, 20 years. Mm. Your dream is to play. Mm. Tim Tebow, you played. You have great memories. Mm. Let it go. For me, when people ask me, I was like, I tweet sometimes, I could have made that catch. Mm. Maybe I could have. I can't play a game. Tim, let it go. Hold on, first of all.
He's only 31.
I thought he was playing baseball.
31.
I thought he played baseball.
And he's got a shot to make it to the big leagues next year. Believe it.
He had his opportunity. God. And the thing is, you come compete for a job, you have to play well in practice. I know things that happen in practice where they tell the DBs, don't intercept the ball. Don't knock the ball down so he can complete the ball. Well, if we're going to compete, James, if they tell you, James, we're going to let you compete, left tackle compete, but James, don't rush. Hmm. James, don't bully. James, just run up the field. Well, how is that making that left tackle better?
Not helping me.
You had an opportunity. You can't, well, he won a playoff game. Hell, Colin Kaepernick took his team to the Super Bowl. Come on, Tim. Come on, God,
Did
let
you
it
take
go.
Take a shot at Colin Kaepernick?
No.
I thought he was really good that year.
That's my point.
Oh.
That's my point. You huffing and puffing over there about a playoff game, mm-hmm. and this man went to the Super Bowl. Mm. But in his last start against the Denver Broncos, when the New England Patriots said, we refuse to let you run the ball, can you tell the people at home what was the final score,
He's
Skip Bayless?
Playing Tom Brady. Tom Brady did it to him twice. He went to Denver. And
he just asked you to score.
Huh? When did Tom Brady play defense, James?
He just asked you to score.
Tom Brady is the greatest player ever.
No. Defensively. Yeah. When Bill Belichick says, we're not going to let you run the football to score what? 45-7.
The thing is, with all players who don't get to lead the game
the way
they want to leave on their terms, everybody believes they can still do it. They can still come back and play. That's just the competitive nature of being an athlete. I don't believe he can come back and play, you know, quarterback. And football, period, you know, it's gone. It's passed. 32 teams have spoken and said that we don't want you.
I got that.
You
but
can't
I'm just
do
saying,
it.
Hypothetically, if you brought Tebow at 31, you don't think he's in good enough condition? Yes, he is.
Skip, let me ask you this, Skip.
It's a difference. Like, even when I retired and came back, that's hell coming back. And it's hard. It hurts.
Okay.
Like, you may think it looked easy, but at that time, the practice was worse than the game.
Let me get
Don't try to convince Jenny. Okay. Convince me.
Okay, I'm going to convince you.
Sorry, I'm not.
Skip. We'll see.
Yeah. We say Aaron Rodgers is struggling, completing 61% of
his
passes.
Well, he is.
Tim Tebow is a career 47.4% completion guy.
But thank you for bringing that up, because what was his QBR in the last 5 minutes of all those games in 2011? Adam, wait, do I get to finish?
Game 60
saying?
Minutes, though.
Okay, the game for him was 5 minutes, because he has some of the greatest intangibles I've ever witnessed on a football field, and I saw it at Florida, and I saw it in Denver, because, again, as the great Eric Mangini has said to us on the air on the show before, there was something about him. He got real accurate in the last 5 minutes, because all the passes that had to be completed with the money on the table, he completed them. He had the number one QBR in all of pro football over the last 5 minutes of all those games in 2011.
But in order for him to come, for that to come into effect, your defense had to play Bears, 85 Bears, 2,000 Ravens, so you could be in that position.
I don't know if they were that good, because Brady just torched them. That was... I'm looking at these games. Where's the Brady game? 41-23.
But
that was Dennis Allen, who's the coordinator for the New Orleans Saints.
But you remember, Skip, they were up. They were up on the Patriots until they fumbled the ball, and then they never recaptured the momentum.
Brady beat him 45-10 at New England, so he hung 41-45. So Dennis Allen's defense, the defense you're saying that had to keep.
Whoa! What about
way to go?
I'm just trying to go. So you mean to tell me Tim Tebow can only score 10 points? Now he is as good as you said he is. He got to give him more than 10.
Last 5 minutes, he could have came up at least 30.
He can't score 40 points in 10 minutes.
He's the most. How many quarterbacks in the history of football have come from 1-4 to win their division? The AFC West. That's astoundingly good.
Skip, you know you can't win very many games when you complete two passes. They were winning games with him completing two passes.
Well, at Kansas City, they won the game when he threw one bomb to Eric Decker and won the game.
Skip, you know you can't win a game like that.
You can win it if you – like, right now, am I a big fan of Lamar Jackson or not? Am I?
No.
Same idea.
Yes, you are. You're a very big fan.
I'm a big fan of Lamar Jackson's, but you have to do it unconventionally. You have to play to his strengths. Is Lamar Jackson a great thrower of the football? No. Is he adequate? Yes, I believe. And if you let him use his legs correctly, they can win a bunch of games in Baltimore. Right. And obviously, they have the number one defense.
And let me tell you something about Lamar Jackson. If he completes 40% of his passes, he'll be just like Tim Tebow. He'll be at home.
I don't think he'll be at home, because I don't think it'll be 40, but it might be in the 50s. And I think he'll be winning football games, completing 50%.
You got not in today's game. Mm-hmm. You got to throw
as
it.
As long as he has that defense. As long as that defense holds
Thank you.
That's the
okay.
That's the ultimate.
Tim Tebow should have gotten another shot.
He got a shot.
Year.
He went to New England with the guy that drafted him, Josh McDaniels.
Did he start another game? No.
He got earned start.
Huh?
He
earned a start. Look what he did in 2011. That didn't earn a start.
New England, he earned a start. He could have earned a start in New England. No.
Hold on. Didn't he go to the Eagles with Chip Kelly?
Yeah.
If you can't. Chip Kelly went and got a guy off the street.
Maybe his baseball career will have a better ending.
He's doing pretty good.
Well, that was his point yesterday, that maybe another door got open that was supposed to open.
And he's always got the bright outlook. I love his attitude.
Thank you, Jenny.
You know what?
So do I.
Yeah, it's a good way to look at life.
Baker Mayfield, Tim
Tebow.
Two
friends over here.
We got this.
Babes, thank you for being here. No mercy. So Aaron Rodgers and the 4-6-1 Packers have an uphill climb to get into the playoffs. USA Today wrote about Rodgers' struggles this season and said he has ignored open receivers underneath, and his completion percentage this year is among the lowest in his career. Rodgers responded to the criticism yesterday saying, quote, "I'm not playing any different this year, just not completing as many passes percentage-wise." Shannon, how do you explain the struggle?
Struggling.
Yeah.
20 touchdowns, one interception. Mm. That's struggling, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
Now, I'm confused. Now, USA Today says Aaron Rodgers is ignoring the short open throws, holding on to the ball, trying to get big plays. Now, Skip Bayless just read me yesterday that Pro Football Focus, that Aaron Rodgers has smashed the throwaway record because he refused to put the ball in harm's way by trying to get big plays.
Get it right. He's already broken it. He hasn't smashed it. Mm-hmm. We still have how many? Five games to go. And through this minute, through 11 games, he has 47 throwaways, which broke the all-time record by Phillip Rivers of 46 already with these many games. Yeah. So now we'll see what happens.
So I'm confused. So which is it? Mm-hmm. So is he foregoing the big plays?
You want me to go?
No. Now, I know a guy, Jenny. Let's just say for the sake of argument. I know a guy that has fewer passing yards, fewer passing touchdowns, more interceptions, been sacked less than Aaron Rodgers, and he to go. He having an unbelievable season. Aaron Rodgers has been sacked twice as many times as Tom Brady, has more passing yards, fewer interceptions, more passing touchdowns. But he's struggling.
Who won the game?
I know.
They played head-to-head. He's like, wait, Tom Brady beat Aaron Rodgers. That's interesting.
With those guys with the pianos, they got two guys that got pianos on the back. But, Skip, I wish you'd stop interrupting me. That's very rude.
Yeah, well, you don't tell the whole story.
Miss Taft, can you ask?
I'm sorry.
She's a teacher.
I'm sorry.
Don't interrupt, Skip.
Not yet, Skip.
Didn't the teacher tell you about interrupting? See, you interrupted students.
I never tried to interrupt.
Yeah, you did. No, I know you. Oh, you just all of a sudden, once you got grown, you started talking this much.
Well, I got to correct you when you're wrong.
Skip, Tom Brady said that he realizes that they'll win 95% of the games if he doesn't turn it over. And if you turn the ball over, there are very few teams. You can't overcome multiple turnovers from the quarterback position. Aaron Rodgers knows, Skip, they're barely good enough to win when he doesn't turn it over. When he turns it over, he knows there's no chance of them winning because he doesn't have a defense that's good enough to hold up. He understands that. I don't think – look, we're so used to seeing him be 30 at this point, probably 30 touchdowns with three picks. But he's 20-1. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is having a bad – I mean, okay, he's having a bad year by his historic transcendent self.
Yep.
But there's only a handful of quarterbacks, maybe Mahomes, Drew Brees, Andrew Luck, would switch places with this. That's what kind of seasons he's having. So, Skip, I'm confused. Either he's throwing the ball away because he's scared or he's holding on to the ball. But now, I mean, this article said he's holding on to the ball trying to get the big play. The other article says he's not trying to get the big play. He's just throwing it away. So I'm confused. But I don't think Aaron Rodgers is struggling. Aaron Rodgers is playing. He got nicked early in the season, which took some of the pizzazz out of it. But I think him. Give me old struggling Aaron Rodgers.
So this article in question appeared in the Green Bay Press Gazette. So this came from Green Bay, and I don't agree with the takeaway from this article. I agree with the stats because he is career low, 61.7% passes. That's by his standards, that's low. Horrendously bad. The Green Bay Packers are now 4-6-1, and I'm going to say this one more time. If Tom Brady were having Aaron Rodgers' season right now, you would be calling loudly for his
retirement.
He's
having a worse season than Aaron Rodgers.
He's 8-3. And he beat Patrick Mahomes head-to-head, and he beat Aaron Rodgers head-to-head.
We need to be careful with individual stats in the team sport. Because he, statistically, Aaron Rodgers is having a better season. It's just his team isn't as good.
So what is going on here? I'm going to tell you exactly what is going on. Aaron Rodgers is the LeBron James of the National Football League because Aaron Rodgers is a stat protector, while we know that LeBron has been guilty of stat sheet stuffing by playing the most minutes in the NBA the last 2 years so that he can pad his stats in the fourth quarter of games that he should not be playing in. But now back to Aaron Rodgers. So he has thrown it away on a record pace. He's already broken the all-time record. And yet he's still been sacked the sixth most times in the NFL. So what does that tell you? He's not throwing the ball away to avoid a sack. Like, oh, I'm about to be sacked. I'll just throw it in the ground over here in a vicinity of a receiver. That's not going on because, to your point, he's been sacked 34 times and Drew Brees has been sacked only 10 times.
Right.
Guess how many times Drew Brees has thrown the ball away for the whole year?
Right.
11 times. So he's barely averaging one per game.
Yeah, why would you if they can't get to you? Why would I throw the ball away?
So he waits for somebody to come open, and then he throws
it. Aaron doesn't have that kind of luxury.
So Aaron Rodgers is protecting against interceptions because he wants to protect 20-1 because he's only thrown one interception. But he's not taking risks down the field that are 50-50 balls.
That's what this article said he is.
The article is saying he's missing underneath open receivers. I find that hard to believe because, really, you're ignoring those. So you're either – what Aaron Rodgers is doing is he's looking for the deep ball, but if it's not really, really there, if he doesn't trust it completely, he just throws it away.
Stop.
Okay? Or he takes the sack.
If you don't mind –
and here's the other thing that's going on with Aaron Rodgers. I told you this last Monday. He is losing his nerve in the pocket. Bad things are happening. His footwork is horrendously bad because he's feeling and seeing ghosts rush. As soon as he feels any pressure at all, he's off – schedule.
34 sacks is real.
Yeah. Okay.
So let me ask you a question.
And by the way, he's been playing with some kind of a knee injury.
Some kind.
So he can't. Well, I don't know what it is. It's sprained. It didn't require surgery, right?
So okay. Because it don't require surgery.
So I'm giving you a break here. I'm saying that maybe in his mind, he's saying, I don't trust my legs the way I used to. When was he most lethal?
Or trust his offensive line.
Okay, like, but when was he most lethal? When he got outside the pocket, right, throwing it on the run, flipping it sideways?
Skipper, you don't mind me asking. He's been sacked 34 times. Jenny, if he didn't have 47 throwaways, how many times would he have been sacked? 50?
Maybe no more. Maybe he just didn't like what he saw down the field and just threw it out of bounds. Seriously.
I'm just trying to figure out. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, if Tom Brady had his numbers, he's 4-6-1. Aaron Rodgers has his exact numbers at 8-3.
Yep.
What's the discussion? The numbers are what they are.
Does Tom Brady have a Davante Adams?
Oh, see, you see what you did?
No, I'm not seeing what he did. I'm asking you, does he?
No.
No, he does not.
No.
Okay. That's big advantage.
He doesn't have a Bill Belichick either.
There were years Mike McCarthy was regarded as the best play caller in pro football.
There's never been a year since 2005 that Bill Belichick wasn't regarded as the best head coach. See, I mean, you could be a
not head coach, defensive coordinator.
No, he's the best head coach, Skip.
Stop it.
The man had 3 championships in his first 5 years coaching in New England.
Does he coach the offense? Nope.
No, he coaches the team. And that's what coaches, great coaches, do. They coach the team. Now.
Well, he must not be coaching the defense anymore because they don't play much.
You know what, Skip? You need to stop. All I'm saying is this. Because Aaron Rodgers has been, see, when you throw 45 touchdowns with 6 picks, you throw 38 and 3 or 38 and 4, this becomes the norm. Now, he's on pace, Skip. You remember? In 2014, when Tom was suspended for those first 4 games, he came back and threw 28 touchdowns, 2 picks. Well, Aaron Rodgers is on pace to do it better. He's on pace to do 29-1. And we're saying he's struggling. You talk about Tom Brady should have won the MVP.
Aaron Rodgers is on pace to miss the playoffs. You like that?
That's my point.
Miss the playoffs?
Skip, we remember I was in the league when Dan was in his prime. But he had inadequate defenses. Because he was still putting up numbers. But that goes to show you, in this game, the ultimate team sport, I don't care how great your quarterback is, let there be inadequacies around him. Can't overcome those.
Really? Does he have a run game with Aaron Jones? Yep.
Skip, is that what you call a run game?
Yep, that's what I call it.
Is it better than Sonny Michel and James White? I'm just curious.
Yeah, it has been. Aaron Rodgers has been raving about Aaron Jones.
Well, so I'm glad Tom Brady says Sonny Michel is poo-poo. Did he say that? Of course not. Skip, stop it.
Well, he's been hurt most of the year. He just got back healthy now.
And
hurt in the preseason.
Got 300-yard games and 2 games in the 90s. So so even though he started the season hurt, he got nicked in the middle of the season. Sonny Michel still going to have over 100 yards.
5 games with the kick returner starting at running back. Okay. You like that? How do you overcome that?
Aaron Rodgers played 3 years with the kick return at running back. You remember Ty Montgomery? He was a kick returner, Skip. I'm walking into that trap. You got there, Jenny. I'm good with this thing.
No,
I told you.
He was a receiver, and he was a really good receiver.
He was a kick returner. What running back you know had 88 in the backfield? The history of the game.
Wait, has Tom Brady had Jimmy Graham this year? No.
Jimmy Graham got a broken thumb. I could outrun Jimmy Graham. You telling me that's the Jimmy Graham that Drew Brees used to throw to?
Did you just say you cannot outrun Jimmy Graham?
I run Jimmy Graham. You see Jimmy Graham running around?
Yeah, I do. He can run.
Hold up. Let me ask you a question. Does Aaron Rodgers have a Rob Gronkowski?
Tom Brady doesn't have a Rob Gronkowski most of the time.
Look at Jimmy Graham. Look at Jimmy. So the man got a broke thumb. He gonna try to catch a ball with a boxing glove on one hand.
Well, he did. That was the first time he played with it. Yeah, but most of the year, Aaron's had him, and they're still 4-6-1.
Really? They're going to try to get back on track.
Those two kids that they drafted, they can really play. Receivers,
Skip, they're
6'4 and 6'5.
Look, this ain't the NBA.
Really? Yeah.
So I don't care how tall your receivers are. They need to know what the hell they're doing. And they need to show some consistency. Now, maybe in years to come, they'll be very good. But currently, right now, no, we can't have that sporadic play. Some games, EQ and Scantlin are unbelievable. But then some, they leave a lot to be desired. Davante Adams is the most consistent receiver. Randall Tex Cobb, Mm-hmm. It's like the old Randall Tex Cobb when Larry Holmes beat him up. You remember that, Skip?
Mm-hmm. I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what he's playing like, and that's what he's moving like.
Yep.
See what those receivers do Sunday. Mm-hmm. They are back home. They're facing the Cardinals.
Oh, they got this one.
The 2-9 Cardinals.
Aaron Rodgers gonna throw for 350.
Really?
350 and four tubs.
You mean the overrated Aaron Rodgers? That guy?
And he said it a couple days ago, right? We got to win this one. Then we got to win the next one. Then we got to win the next one. I mean, this is an uphill battle.
Was he guaranteeing that, or I don't know?
You know.
Yeah.
We're gonna win out.
He went home and had some
doors. I don't hate seeing it, but you know, right down the middle.
Yeah, you do.
Right down the middle for me.
No mercy.
The Browns are facing the Texans on Sunday, but a lot of attention is still on their matchup against the Bengals last week. Baker Mayfield and Hugh Jackson had an icy reunion, and after the game, Baker said he didn't appreciate Hugh going to a division rival. On Tuesday, Baker called Hugh, quote, fake on Instagram. And yesterday, Baker was asked more questions about Hugh. Let's hear what he had to say.
Anything you regret at all?
No. You know, people took it as me personally attacking Hugh. That's not it. It's the fact that I get to have my own opinion on how it transpired, and he gets to do what he wants. That's how it is. Although I'm an athlete, I'm not a cookie cutter quarterback, never have been, never will be. I speak my mind. That's just how I am. So I didn't like the move, and people don't have to care. I mean, I'm not looking for anybody's approval. I don't regret any of it.
Why'd you call him fake?
There's just things that happen inside the building that I'm not going to get into detail with. It's in-house information. It doesn't matter.
But then when you understand it's a bit of a contradiction to put it out there.
I get it, but I don't have to go into details. That's just how it works.
All right, Shannon, what do you make of those comments?
I just don't get it. I don't get it why he keeps it going. Skip, I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe that someone told Baker something that Hugh said. This is why he's calling them fake. I've never seen a situation where the offensive coordinator and the head coach gets fired. Jimmy Haslam made this very clear. He will not tolerate internal discord.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why he said that. Mm. Now, Hugh can dress it up. Look, I'm not advocating that Hugh should have kept his job. Hugh could have easily been fired after last year 0-16. Mm-hmm. You go 1-31, you deserve to lose your job.
Yep.
And no one would blink an eye. Hugh losing his job, Skip, I don't think anybody is surprised by that. You and I might be surprised he kept it that long. But I don't get what Baker needs to understand is that just because you're not cookie cutter, just because you speak your mind, Skip, I was a guy, you know I spoke my mind, but I didn't speak my mind on everything. Because there are some things that you just keep to yourself and you just leave well enough alone. Mm-hmm. And you'll understand that. Now, this is what I don't get, Jenny. He says he speaks his mind, he doesn't regret anything.
Mm-hmm.
So did you not regret the crotch grab? Because you said you apologize for that. Oh, but what happens is that when you're interviewing for a job, you want people to see that you suffer somewhat humility. Now you're perfectly entrenched. You're the starter. I don't regret anything. Baker, you're going to learn the hard way that you can't say everything, and it's okay to take the high road.
Mm.
It doesn't make you any less of a man by taking the high road in certain instances.
Mm.
I believe this was one of the instances that you could have taken the high road and you come out looking well.
Mm.
But you want to do it your way, but you'll have to learn the hard way. Because I can assure you, there have been times that Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Rodgers and all these other elite quarterbacks, Skip, you know they want to say something.
Mm-hmm.
You know they have something that's brewing inside them. But they know, you know what? Can't say that.
Mm.
It's okay.
Aaron says it a lot.
No, he doesn't.
Tom never says it. Sorry. Go ahead. You open the door.
Somehow, every time he gets an opportunity, he has to make this about Aaron and Tom. Mm. And it's really not. I'm just trying to make a point, Jen. I'm just trying to, you know, get the people at home. I'm trying to navigate this path. But what Baker will understand, Baker, you did make it about Hugh. You did it. You called him fake.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you not make it about Hugh? Or you taking a shot at Hugh when you call a man fake, Skip? That's exactly what you made it about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because so now you made it. You're not cookie cutter. But this is what I love. I love Baker. He's not cookie cutter. But when he had that incident in Arkansas, he's immature. Now in this situation, he's just speaking his mind. So you can't be immature in one situation and then speak your mind in the other. So basically, all of what we see, that's exactly who Baker Mayfield is. Hmm. All of that, the Arkansas incident, the crotch grab, and the and speaking his mind to Hugh. Mm-hmm. All of those mm-hmm. are who Baker Mayfield is. And like you say, Cleveland, you're going to learn the hard way. Take it or leave it.
So, Shannon Sharp, once again, you have missed the point and the boat on Baker Mayfield. Remember, he is not a one-time walk-on. He's a two-time walk-on.
Why?
He desperately needs to play with a chip on his shoulder because that's when he's at his best. So he always needs an enemy. He needs a battle. He needs a fight. And if there's not one, he's going to go pick one on the internet with some random follower. You know how he is. He'll just go find somebody, mm-hmm. or he'll find somebody in the media, Colin Cowherd here on FS1, to fight with because he needs to fight. He needs to think that people are telling him he can't do it anymore. So what happened after both his coach and his coordinator got fired 3 games ago and most of the NFL world wrote off the Cleveland Browns once again as a dysfunctional disaster? What happened, Mr. Sharp? In the last 3 games, Baker Mayfield has thrown 9 touchdowns to 1 interception. He has completed 74% of his passes for 771 yards with a QBR for the 3 games of 87, and that includes the last two of 97 and 97, the last of which led the whole Sunday quarterback ratings. He's been on fire, and this is a first-year rookie starter who's playing at an extremely high level. He's been, I'll just say this, he's been a top 10 quarterback the last 3 weeks. And again, that's a small sample size, but he's doing it because everybody wrote him and them off. So, is he really mad about Hugh going to the Bengals? No, he's not mad about that because that's just silly.
Exactly.
He's a smart kid. He's smarter than that. He gets it. He got fired. He didn't choose to get fired. He got fired, and Marvin said, come on back down here. Right. And so he went back. Right. Can you blame him for that? Right. No, Baker doesn't blame him for that. But Baker does blame him for never giving Baker a shot to win the starting job.
I agree.
And it's something deeper, and there may have been something that was said to him that we don't know. Mm-hmm. But the truth was, all through Hard Knocks and training camp, Baker Mayfield was a Boy Scout by his standards. I kept waiting for the salvo, the backlash from Baker. I kept waiting for something politically incorrect from him. Mm-hmm. And he was a model of political correctness all through camp and all through the Tyrod games. How many were there? I don't know, 3 or 4 games.
Right.
He didn't say a word about any of this, right? He was a model citizen for them. But once it broke, once he got his shot against the Jets that night on Thursday night, and he played very well in that game, albeit against the Jets, mm-hmm. and once he had a couple of good games, he starts to get full of himself, but he needs a fight. And once you got fired, he's going to continue to pick a fight with you because that's his new enemy. I'll show you.
That's low-hanging fruit. That's
okay?
easy.
Okay, it is easy. But he needs this. This is what drives him. It's how he's built. So what happened in college? So they're playing the lowly, at that point, Kansas Jayhawks are not so lowly as we speak. They just scored 40 at Oklahoma.
But they still took the A.
Okay. Okay, they took the L, but still. So they're at Kansas a year ago, and in the coin flip, one of the Jayhawks refuses to, Baker extends his hand, and the kid wouldn't shake his hand.
Right.
And Baker goes crazy. These are the, like I said on the show that on Monday, these are the Jayhawks.
Right.
They're the doormat of your comp. What are you doing?
Right.
And he's picking fights with people in the stands, yelling at them.
I've seen it.
Right?
Well,
you've been there.
Make sure. I had to ask their sports information director, Mike, if it was okay. There was a moment he was yelling with a fan. I mean, this close. With a fan in the stand. And I'm like, is Baker okay?
What are you doing?
He was like, oh, yeah, he's fine. This will get him
he's
going.
He's fine. Okay.
So, crazy.
Okay, it's a little crazy, but this is what drives
rules him.
So he's so mad, he grabs his crotch against the Jayhawks. Take that. Really?
Yeah.
You guys?
Yeah.
You want to talk about that's the lowest hanging fruit, right? Okay, TCU not low hanging last year. So TCU came in, mm-hmm. they played him twice in big games, but the one at Norman, one of the TCU kids had the audacity to trot across the back line of the end zone during OU's warm-ups on that end of the field. And Baker said, oh, yeah, watch this. And he drilled the kid. He had his helmet on, thank God. Drilled him right in the helmet. It was a gunshot, man. It was just a boom, right? You know, just jarred him. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's who this kid is. That he wants, let's fight. Let's go right now.
Yep.
That drives him. Mm-hmm. He's overachiever. He's about 6 feet tall. He's Drew Brees size.
Yep. All the guys, especially a lot of guys that play professional sports, have overcome something. It's not the battles that we see that they overcome that makes them strong. It's the battles that we don't see that they fight and win. That makes them strong. Mm-hmm. So him picking a fight with Hugh, that's low-hanging fruit. That doesn't tell me anything about it. That tells me nothing.
He picks fights on the internet with random people, like somebody I know sitting near me at this point. Do you need it?
Listen.
You need it.
I'm not going to go back and forth. But this is not the battle you can win, Baker. I'm not going to go back.
Thank you.
You can't win this.
It's an unwinnable battle.
You can't win this lip sparring battle with O'Shea Sharp.
Okay. Oh, you can't. I think you can't win your battles with whoever.
I'm 500-0.
Really?
When it comes to this tongue wrestling, yeah. I'm undisputed.
Really?
I'm Ali Mayweather. I'm cut from a different cloth.
Boy, that.
Yeah!
Never happened on this show.
Oh, this lip sparring jitty.
Yeah.
What?
Huh. Somebody's delusional across from me.
I wouldn't want to be on your bad side.
Well, I thought you were talking about tweet sparring.
Oh, yeah, Skip, I'm undefeated.
Really?
Undefeated.
Well, in your mind.
Undefeated.
I'm sure, because you get the last word,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but Skip, let this go. Mm. Okay, you've moved on. What you've done.
I don't think he's going
to but I'm saying, Skip, you've proven to Hugh that he should have given you an opportunity to win the job.
That's true.
Okay, you're in. Yeah. You're perfectly entrenched as the starting quarterback.
You could be right, but Baker's going to need a new fight. He's going to have to find somebody.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Steelers, the Ravens, the Bengals.
Okay, he's doing all this. Yeah. So if they don't win the division, if they don't make the playoffs, what's all this for?
Building blocks? I mean, just if they are they better than they were a year ago? Yeah.
I'm saying at the end of the day, what is this for?
What he's doing right now?
What if the Cleveland Browns, if they don't win the division, let's just say in the next 5 years, what have they accomplished?
Well, in the 5 years, you just said about this year.
Yeah.
What they're accomplishing right now is they beat Baltimore at home, they beat Atlanta at home.
Yeah.
They should have beaten Oakland in Oakland when Oakland was still playing at a high level. Well,
Oakland
they did.
Oakland, first of all, let's get this correct. Oakland hadn't played at a high level this year. Mm. So let's go ahead and remove that.
I thought they were pretty good in that game.
Really?
Cleveland was playing pretty well at that point.
No. Yep. Oakland hadn't been good. Skip, they won two games. Mm. John Gruden sincerely, desperately want that number one overall pick. We're going to talk about him a little later. But let this go. Okay, Baker, you're right. Hugh is two-faced. He's a snake. He's a weasel. He's a scoundrel. He's a charlatan.
All he was saying about fake is that he was pledging allegiance to the Browns, like we're all in this together. And the next thing Baker knew, he's on the Bengals staff. Okay, that's what he's calling
for. What college coach? I can assure you, Jimbo Fisher said the same thing to Florida State before he signed his 10-year, $75 million to coach Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
That happens! What's new with what you did? Skip, they do that all the time.
I got no issue with
it. Not me either.
And I promise you, Baker Mayfield deep down has no issue with
it. And we know what it was about, Skip. Mm-hmm. You and I saw through this from the beginning. It ain't about no Hugh leaving to go into Cincinnati.
Mm-mm.
The man wanted to get a job. Nobody else was going. Listen. People don't beat your door down when you're 3-36 over 3 years, Skip. People don't beat your door down to come coach their football team. So he has to get back any way he can to start. Basically, he's starting from under the ground to get back to the ground to try and build his way back up. And there are no assurances that he's ever going to be a head coach in the NFL again, Skip. There's no guarantee. Mm-mm. Because how do you sell that to your fans? That this guy once went 1-15, 0-16.
Well, the speculation is that he's going to replace Marvin next year.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well,
would that
he
be
might,
a good move?
Because guess what? He might, because the Cleveland Browns are on the hook for most
in
of the
fact,
seven.
I believe our guy Jay Glazer had that on Sunday as a possibility.
Just let Baker let it go.
Yep.
You're the face of the franchise. Yep. And franchise quarterbacks, legit, real franchise quarterbacks, don't get in those verbal sparring matches with internet trolls.
The one thing he said that was very true is he is not cookie cutter as quarterbacks
go. You don't have to be. Okay, give me the quarterback that's been worth anything that displayed this kind of behavior that Baker Mayfield is doing. Name one.
Jim McMahon.
Skip. The man.
He won the Super Bowl.
He had 1 year.
Well, he did. I'm just
hell, I could have won the Super Bowl with that defense.
Yeah. Well, I can go back in the day. Everybody, Joe Namath was this way. Kenny Stabler was this way. That's when it was different.
Yeah.
That's when the expectations of the quarterback were different.
Yeah, and the quarterbacks weren't looked at as CEO.
They were not.
Those guys.
I would agree.
I mean, if you go back and look at, what was it, Super Bowl III, Len Dawson is on the sideline smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
Let that sink in. But a Super Bowl, Skip.
Oh. Okay.
Even when I got into the league, guys smoked at halftime.
Yep.
Wow. It's a different time now.
Okay.
Expectations are different. So you should act accordingly.
This kid is another shatter the mold kid. Yeah. He is.
Like me, you see how button up I am, Skip? I come up here and I'm presentable. That ain't how I am at home. Old Hood Shannon.
Really?
Old Hood, yeah. I know Jimmy. Jenny, oh, he was on the phone last night talking to Matt. You ever, ever, you better get here.
I would never say those words, Shannon. Just
thank you. Jenny. I believe Jenny on this one. No
mercy. The Lakers had high expectations coming into the season, and right now they're 11-9. And now there might be friction between LeBron and Luke Walton. Anonymous scouts told ESPN that when LeBron is running the point, he rarely looks to the bench to get the play calls from Walton. The scouts added that if LeBron sees a play call, he ignores it. But Walton will typically just let LeBron call the game he wants. This is interesting. Shannon, are you buying this?
To a certain extent. I'm sure that LeBron does run some of the plays out on the floor. I don't think he's ignoring every. That would be a problem. If every play that Luke sent in and LeBron ignored it, that would be a problem. I believe that Magic Johnson had latitude. That every play that Pat Riley sent in, Magic Johnson didn't run. I don't believe every play that Chuck Daly, the great coach of rest his soul for Detroit, Isaiah ran. Skip, you know great players, John Stockton and Jerry Sloan. I don't believe he ran every single play. And so for me, do I think LeBron deserves to have some latitude to run plays that he thinks is going to be successful? Sure. It would be a problem if every play Luke sent in, LeBron ignores. Because I don't believe LeBron is deliberately doing that. I don't believe LeBron is trying to get Luke Walton fired. But at the end of the day, I do believe that LeBron knows he's as good a student of the game as there is. And he deserves to have some latitude. But even if he were to, let's say, 10-15% of the time he ignores Luke, it's not like he's calling his own number to get his own shot. We know sometimes, Skip, we've criticized LeBron for being unselfish to a fault.
Yep.
And we think, LeBron, you're LeBron James. Take the shot. Don't defer to someone else that are lesser tier. And even if you feel they're comparable, you're LeBron James. Still take the shot. So, Skip, for me, do I think LeBron goes it alone sometimes? Sure. But I believe that Tom Brady does not run every play that Josh McDaniel sends in.
No.
Or Drew Brees run every single play that Sean Payton, because we see.
No, I'm not saying Brady would ignore the play call, but he might check out of it.
Sure. Right. Because, Skip, you know, in college, you see the quarterback, he's always looking to the side.
That's how they do it.
That's how they do it. But the NFL, sometimes you see him, okay, need a play, and then they're like, never mind, I just run the play. The quarterback and the coordinator, the head coach, Skip, they have a situation, especially in football, that we've gone over the game plan. We know what we want to run in certain situations. And so if the play is not coming in, I'm going to go with a play that we've discussed all week long, and I'm going to go with that play. Or I feel that there have been times that John has called a play. You know, Mike might have wanted to run Mike Shanahan, the head coach of Denver. Or Kuhl might have sent a play in, and John was like, nah, let's do this. I like this play better.
But great. John had earned that right.
Yes. You don't think LeBron has?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, then. I don't really. But I'm tired of these anonymous. I'm tired of y'all trying. See, what they're trying to do is called dissension. They're trying to cause conflict because they see what LeBron has got this thing brewing. Because if you look at Houston, they getting the doors blowed off them on a consistent basis. Utah, all the teams that we thought were going to be way up there going to only lose like two games.
Wait a second. Utah just got fourth quarter, so now you're in trouble. Right?
We're going to get him by the trade deadline.
Are you? Yeah, you're going to retrade? Yep. You're going to get him again?
Yep.
Okay.
We'll get him.
I think Utah got him, and he was there for 4 years before. I think he's going to be happy there.
He ain't happy. Yeah. He like playing with LeBron.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't disagree with that. Okay, my take on this. First of all, I'm going to say what I've said 1,000 times on live television. LeBron James was born to play the point. He, as a little kid, what he did best was see it and feel it and execute it before anybody on defense could figure out what he was doing.
Right.
He has the highest basketball IQ I have ever witnessed. I know Magic's is in the ballpark. It's somewhere. It's hard to quantify that. But I'm going to give LeBron even a slight edge over Magic. The point is, the Lakers started to percolate and take off once LeBron said, you know what, I'm going to play on the ball. And it was in part caused with the loss of Rajon Rondo.
Correct.
But in larger part, I think LeBron, remember the cracked quote, I almost cracked?
Right.
Well, when he gets to that point, what's the default there? I need the ball.
Right.
Just give me the ball because I know how to do it.
Correct.
Well, he does. He knows how to do it at the highest level, better than anybody playing the game right now.
Correct.
He's still the best point guard in basketball.
Right.
Seriously.
Right.
I'm not trying to – that's not sarcastic. I'm giving – that's what he is. That's who he was born to be. So the hypothetical here is that the anonymous scouts, these are advanced scouts, just scouting the Lakers for other teams that are about to play them. They're seeing LeBron dribble the ball up the floor as the point guard, and Luke's over there calling out a play, and LeBron is ignoring that play because there are two kinds of play calls in basketball. There's that kind that's called as you're dribbling the ball up the floor, and then there's the timeout play, the play you're going to run out of a timeout. I don't think LeBron would ignore that call. Unless, of course, it was David Blatt who called the play for Kyrie, and LeBron said, no, I want to shoot the ball, right?
Yeah, we were trying to get him up out of there.
Yeah, well, that got him up out of there. That was definitely the beginning of that end.
He was sabotaging.
Maybe he was. But in this case, LeBron, if you call a play out of a timeout, LeBron's going to go along with that.
Right.
But I think 100% of the time, he's not going to look over to Luke about you know, doing whatever the hand signal play
And shouldn't Skip, they have already gone over this in meetings? Shouldn't they already know LeBron know to a certain degree?
Some idea.
Yeah.
But again, look, seriously, LeBron has twice the basketball mind that Luke Walton has. Mm-hmm. Twice. And that's no disrespect to Luke. Right. It's just LeBron James we're talking about.
Yeah.
And Luke was a decent NBA player, and he won championships for good teams. Yeah. We get that. And his father was a great NBA, all-time great. But still, this is LeBron James. So the story, the Brian Windhorst story, also pointed out that after a while, Luke quit even trying to signal in plays when LeBron's dribbling the ball at the floor because, come on, let him do it.
Right.
And again, he's not always going to call his own number. He's just going to get everybody in the right place.
He's going to call what he believes is the right play in that situation. And plus, Skip, while he's calling the plays for Luke, at the end of the day, most of these guys, with the exception of Rondo that possessed the ball, hadn't really won. They're young. Kyle Kuzma is young. Brandon Ingram is young. Josh Hart is young. So all the guys that can initiate the offense are young. So, Lonzo, very young.
And all the rest of them are they qualify as cast-offs.
Yes.
They've been discarded
right.
a bunch of times
right.
by various teams.
I mean, but look how LeBron has made JaVale. Even JaVale McGee at his absolute best has never looked like he's looked this year.
Agreed.
He looks like a viable big man this league.
Right.
That's directly attributed.
Right.
Yeah, he's playing more minutes. Mm-hmm. But look who LeBron goes out of his way to make sure gives him feeds early. He'll dump it down to him the post. He's like, why are you dumping the ball down to JaVale McGee? He's supposed to get balls off the rim. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to run the floor. You don't run plays for him, but LeBron will dump it down to him and he'll
agreed. LeBron has made Kyle Kuzma better.
Yes.
He's made Josh Hart better.
Yes.
He's made KCP better. Lonzo, I'm not sure.
Right.
Lonzo has had to defer and said, okay, I got to play off guard.
Right.
So his assists have fallen about 3 a game, and they're going to keep plummeting as long as this. But again, he'll just sort of go along with LeBron and kind of vibe off him and say, "Do you?" And all of a sudden, Lonzo's having to play the two guard.
And sometimes Lonzo, but he's also made Lonzo a little bit more aggressive. We've seen Lonzo more aggressive this year.
He will actually occasionally attack the basket.
Yes.
And he'll go ahead and pull up and shoot it with some conviction from three. And he's shooting it better from outside, in large part because LeBron made him feel better about it.
Yeah,
LeBron, well, I'm going back about 3 games ago, but LeBron said he doesn't realize how great, how great he is.
He can, when he's aggressive. Yeah, he got a charge. Oh, well, so what?
Okay.
Yeah, he shot a couple of balls. So what? Shoot it.
Okay.
Drive it.
All right.
And that's what LeBron does. He gives you confidence. Skippy, there's nothing like what a great player gives you confidence. I remember the first time, you know, I thought I could play in the league, Skip. I really did thought I could play. I was like, man, hey, I put up these numbers and everybody's, well, you played against Savannah State.
I know, but what you had going for you was your brother was a star.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it wasn't until John Elway, one practice in training camp, my rookie year, pulled me aside.
Mm-hmm.
He say, call me T. He said, T, you could be special. Mm-hmm. I remember going, and that was my nickname. That's what he called me. It's a long story, Skip.
That must be a really
long story. It's a really long story.
Shannon Sharp is T.
But I remember going and calling my brother, and I said, John Elway told me I can be special.
Mm.
He says, that means something.
No, I'd say.
Because obviously he sees something.
What does your big brother tell you?
He said, keep working.
Well, did he say you could be special?
Oh, yeah, he already knew it.
Or was he threatened?
No. I was never going to be that special because I was going to get the opportunity that he was getting. Mm-hmm. But And so when LeBron tells Lonzo, you can be great.
Huge.
I mean, that should be
it. But these kids are just, they're like.
Thank you. Can you imagine Michael Jordan telling one of his teammates, dude, you can be special. Now, I don't believe Michael would have ever told anybody that.
He didn't have many young teammates. They went old. They were always veteran. Yep.
And, you know, maybe that's what LeBron like, Michael never had any, you know, young teammates.
Not like
Magic
this.
Had a young teammate, but still don't know how Magic Johnson wins the NBA title and then they get James Worthy. How you do that, Skip? Can you imagine the Warriors winning the NBA title and then getting the first pick in the draft?
I don't know. Ask Dr. Buss. He's late, great Dr. Buss. They figured it out.
They pulled it off. Well, he got him in 82. Yeah, they did win the title in 82. Yeah, they won the title in 82 and they got James Worthy. Mm-hmm. But
they won it because this freshman kid hit the shot of shots.
Big game James Worthy had 29 points. Michael he was also Jordan. Player of the year. He was Naismith.
Michael Jordan hit the game winner as a true freshman.
He had 14 points. But what about big game James?
What about Michael Jordan? You saw it coming. Greatest player ever. Right there. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for bringing up the game.
He hit that shot as a true freshman. Mm-hmm. But nobody saw what he came to be. Nobody saw that.
No.
Nobody.
The only man who could stop Michael Jordan was Dean Smith, the coach, right?
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
He coached him. And he bought in. Not a whole lot of people. I mean, it takes a special talent to coach that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we are going to leave it there.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.